in about 4 months, but it really shaped the lenses with which I study the scriptures. And I really appreciate him so much. Hallelujah. Today, I want to share with us a very simple topic. It's with us almost every day. Whether you like it or not, you're going to come to that point in your life. It's something you really want to encounter as believers. But whether we like it or not, God at times, and even if not God ourselves, we'll find ourselves there in our lives. So I talk about hell and your temptation. Lessons from 1 Corinthians.
Please go to the first slide.
Yep. I'm going to speak to three categories of people. The first category of people is the people who get baptized today. You're not part of the plan, but as I sat there, I began to reflect back that because in this journey of faith, you come to that point in your life where temptation stares at you in the face. But when it happens, so what are you going to do? So this message is for you. And then the second category is the people I love so much because I found myself there and it is not a sweet place to be. People that are sinking, just like this guy, and I yell within them for help. You come to church, you laugh with everybody, but when you go in your closet, you cry within, you smile among the brethren, but in your closet, you only know that something is eating you up. I've come for you today. Hallelujah. And then the third category will be for generally everyone. Because as I've said, one way or the other, we'll find ourselves at that juncture of our life where temptation is facing you in your life. So the background to the text is that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians with a goal to solve certain problems that were coming up in the church. The church of Corinth was one of the best churches then times with much spiritual gifts. But all the same, this church also found itself to be one of the churches that has a lot of problems concerning marital issues, concerning sexual immorality, what they should do about it, a lot of issues. So Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians to solve some of these problems. There are a lot of divisions among the church as to who to pay total allegiance to. Some were hailing Peter, some were hailing Paul, others to Apollos, and then some other to Christ. So Paul addressed some of these key issues to the church of Corinth. Then in the chapter 10 that we are coming to study, Paul was quick to remind them of the happenings of the Israelites when God took them from Egypt with the intention to send them into the promised land. You need to understand that Israel, and I emphasize the word all. Paul said, all Israel went through the Red Sea, all was baptized unto Moses, and all of them were baptized in the sea. All of them went through the Red Sea successfully. But in the wilderness, they had a lot of challenges. They came to a point, did not have water, and Moses became the target for crucifixion. Picking stones, hailing insults at him, and all that. Then they come to a plan that God will supply for them. And in that time of wilderness, they begin to forget about themselves. Hallelujah. They begin to forget about themselves and give in an idolatry, sexual immorality, drunkenness, among others. So Paul cautioned them that some also complained, just complaining. We want water. Have you taken us from Egypt for us to come and die in this wilderness? Are there no good things in Israel or Egypt? And you brought it into this wilderness to die? So they complained, they murmured, they tested God, they tried God, they tempted God. And the consequence is that God made serpents to bit them. So what Paul is trying to say is that you look at the Corinth church, bear in mind that you want any special people from these Israelites. All the experiences they had in the wilderness will equally stand the tendency of coming to that point in our lives. So he cautions Go on. Let those who think they stand, let the cautious lift the fall. Hallelujah. Because all that has happened to the fathers in the wilderness, it is so amazing how many times you don't care about anything but then when you get to that point of your life. You may say that. And most of the time we criticize them. How could you complain? How could you murmur after seeing God taking you through a mighty miracle of opening a Red Sea for you to go through, and after all, get the water, you complain? How many of us haven't we done that? But God has done many things in the past, and then we come currently to a point in our lives that God, I'll say, do a little thing, and we forget all that God has done, and begin to complain. So Paul cautions the church that let the man that thinks the stands take caution, lest he falls. So, what should we do then? Because we are so different from the Israelites. We face this temptation almost on daily basis. As I'm speaking of you, some of you are going through some trials or temptations, I can promise you what is awaiting you sooner or later. Temptation to sin of unbelief, struggles with a particular kind of sin, I'll spend more time on this particular word because I've been there before. Rebelling against God when things seem not to fall in place, giving up on our faith due to life challenges, the tendency to forget about God in our time of wellness, and then struggles with health issues, marital problems, challenges. As I'm speaking here, I know you can identify with at least one of these. All of us in this room. So like I said, temptation is not something we want to encounter, but we cannot take it out of our lives. If it was so, what would the scripture that says that you are more than conquerors, what would they mean to us? What would they mean to us? If there are no temptations, there are no trials in our lives, what would you are more than conquerors, as Paul said to the church, what would it mean to us? And even, what would be the worth of your faith if not tried by God or circumstances? So, what I'm just saying is that we cannot run away from the trials and temptations. But, go on. Do we become helpless and vulnerable? What do we do to this gentle of our lives? Are we helpless? Are we vulnerable? Of course not. There is help. Hallelujah. And that's what Paul brought us to our key text for today. Go on. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want to call the church to read together with me. One, go. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with a temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Hallelujah. One thing I would like to chip in before I begin to explain this test is that, go to the next test. This test over the years spent as we were preparing the sermon together with Pastor Nathan, I fell to that temptation. This scripture has been interpreted to mean that God will not allow trials beyond our ability to come upon us. The scripture we read is not saying so. How do I know? Go to the next. Let's read this. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Read, for we do not want you to be unaware, Paul writing to the church, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. For we were so awfully burdened beyond our strength. Leon. Hallelujah. So the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is not supposing that God has done a lot of trials beyond your ability to come your way. The test is not about trials, it's about temptations. The power of the test is about temptations and not trial. Because as Paul is saying here, God at times will allow what is beyond your ability yourself. Hallelujah. So do not take the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians 10:13 to mean that what I'm going through, the scripture is saying, is not about me. No, that's not what it's saying. See, you get what I'm saying?
Go on.
However, going forward, the Greek word for temptation as used is cosmos, which means trial for temptation. So how do I reconcile what I said already in this? Like I said, the part of the text of 1 Corinthians 10:13 is about temptation. But when we take out the Greek word for temptation, it's cosmos, which is extended to include trial. So what I'm saying is that we are going to use trial in this presentation loosely. But the key word of the text is temptation. However, I will extend for it to include trial. Please do understand me. Because the part of the text controls just picking a Greek word to control the whole text. Do you understand? So it's about temptation. However, the Greek word alone is extended to include trial. So what does it mean? Say no temptation has overtaken him that is not common to man. This statement could mean two things. One, you could feel Paul is trivializing the situation. Or you will feel he's presenting a great hope to you. No temptation has overtaken him that is not common to man. Meaning that all that you are going through with trials or temptation, it's not natural. It's not so special. Someone has gone through it. Someone is going through it. And that person will come to the same place in their lives of what you are going through. So Paul is not trying to trivialize or make a joke out of the situation. No. But he wants to offer you real help to hope that in what you have what you found yourself in, there is help. What you are going through, like I said, many have gone through, and many will go through. And many have gone through successfully among stronger persons. So a few things we want to notice about temptation. The temptation is probably in the fear. We're not winking, we're not ignoring. And that is real. But then, it is common. So don't feel that, oh, Pastor, what I'm going through, you don't understand me. You don't understand me. Yes, I may not be able to relate exactly what you are going through, but by the power of the Word of God, what it says is that what you are finding yourself in is common. It's common. So do not be discouraged. Another thing that we can learn about this is no believer. I used to be there. I believed in myself a lot. So for about 13 to 14 months, I found myself in sexual immorality. Having worked with the Lord for 12 years, I came to that juncture, 2016, for 13 months. And I was a praise and worship leader of church. I was a youth ministry president. I go to church, lead worship, sing, and all that. And when I close and go home, I knew I was sinking. I knew I was dying. Hallelujah. But God saved me. Through a hard way. In one circumstance, God just exposed me. I need the courage to approach somebody, to talk to somebody, to save me. So God said, Joe, I'm not going to take you down the hard way. So in one circumstance, God dealt with me the hard way. So, let no one under the sound of my voice think they are beyond being tempted. No. None of us. And it goes on to say, you are being tempted not because you are sinful. Some of us are I think God, for me, I'm so sinful that so every time I find myself in troubles or I find myself in temptation. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. So if temptations comes your way, it's not because you are sinful. No. Not at all. Go on, brother. To be tempted is not a sin, but the sinners to give in.
whatever is coming your way. And then, also know that your situation is not a surprise. God isn't tempted, but he allows us to be tempted. You could see that in 1 Job, Job chapter 1 verse 12 and James 1:13. Go on. He says, God is faithful, and he will not let the iniquities injure, meaning to abandon, to leave. So, for the faithfulness of God, even though he abandoned us, at the mercy of temptation. No. He will not do that. He will not do that. His faithfulness will not allow us to be abandoned to temptation. And he keeps talking about your ability. Your ability. We could think that therein we have some kind of ability in ourselves. But I beg to differ. But this ability Paul is talking about is the everyday grace God supplies that we can lean on him. Can I have you, please? Please, can I have you? Come. Philip Akitiansi, please, can I have you for some demonstration? What this text is saying, please be here. I want to make you God. Yeah, I'm making you God. So stand behind me. And then, I'm the believer. And you cry, you're not tall. Brother, can I have you? Somebody taller than me to represent temptation or trial. Please come, please. Be in front of me. Yeah. I want to defy the interpretation given to the First Corinthians that God is going to allow troubles beyond us. You know, I'm the believer, and this guy is huge. Please, you're not trouble, but just an illustration, okay? So, this is a temptation, this is a trial. That's God. That's me, the believer. Can you see me? But what Paul is saying is that God, for his faithfulness, he has grown up. So if the trouble falls on me, I fall on God. Sorry? You can go. So that if God is not there, and the trouble comes to hit me, I fall. But for God's faithfulness, the big word for the faithfulness also means reliable. That is, we can count on God at all times. And for that, no matter what comes your way, you aren't going to fall. So then you may be asking in your mind, what happens when I fall, when temptation comes my way? That'll be for another time. Go on. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. Exit means an exit. An exit. An opening to get your way out of something. So, what I want to tell you today, when I was in the circumstance that I couldn't imagine how bad that situation was when I was within that 13 months of trial. I didn't know. I had no idea. Something pushes me, go and talk to Pastor Steve. Then I go like, hey, Joseph, looking at you are bad in the church. When you go and confess, they'll be like, hey. So I kept thinking that there is a way out. I said, there is a way out. Some of the ways could be the encouragement you will get from yourself, that is group meetings. The encouragement. Hallelujah. Pastor Aaron just said, we cannot do without each other, and we need one another. Yeah. So, if you're going through anything, please, don't let the devil say, and sin shall have mastery over you. So when you come to that point in your life, it's because you are living it, but all the necessary exits, God has provided it. And one is, or two, support from praying partners is a very good thing to have. Accountability partners are confidants. From my house, somebody I share everything with. Yes. Keeping pure thoughts by letting the word of God dwell in you richly, and you're completely free from the sin of temptation. Don't be trivializing or joking or hovering around the sin of temptation. Don't do it. Take it down. When it begins, I was like, oh, I'm too strong. strong for this. I'm too strong. This lady can't take me down. He can't. She can't. So she took me down. Yes. Flee. For Solomon said, which of you can take fire into their bosom and it wouldn't burn them? So don't joke around saying that you're seeing that this thing, how it is going, this is the way it is moving to. And you keep being there. Be dead. Then take encouragement from the testimonies of others who have faced similar situations. Hallelujah. When I look at Pastor Gabe, my faith in God, I don't have to describe it. I believe it's happening to you so. So the testimonies of others may help you go on. That you may be able to endure. This place and the last thing I presented, he says God will make an exit. So that you may be able to endure. I suppose that an exit is supposed to actually take you out of the place when you are facing the temptation. But he says that an exit so that you can endure. This means that to bear, you will bear by being under the pressure. Hallelujah. Some of the trials, when we pray to God several times, God is going to allow us a total exit, but he will supply the necessary grace for us to be able to endure. And why would God do this thing seven times? One, that we may not be self-conceited like Paul. Praying God on three occasions to aid him out of something. He said, now my grace is sufficient for you. The next is to lose trust, like we said, in ourselves. Then, to comfort, you know what it takes to be, to go through something and find another person in that same situation, then you know you can really relate and know what to tell the person. Hallelujah. So temptation and trials aren't all that bad. In fact, they are good for us. Yes. Then, to become mature. It wasn't easy. What I'm saying, I went through, it wasn't easy. But I learned a lot. I put out in a book on that. I went through a lot. You know, the Pentecostals, how they do their thing. I'm from a Pentecostal background. A public, not a disgrace, but you go through some, like Paul said, you'll be excommunicated from the church. I went through that. Yeah. But it's brought me to be more calm, more understanding. Because then I will never understand that somebody who stands at such a pedigree of being this in the church and you go so low, I wouldn't understand. But I think I understand better now. Yes. Hallelujah. Go on. Is somebody crying this morning? Are you crying and feeling helpless? Go. But one of this, he's a faithful God. He will not let your temptation gain grace over you. You can stand. I say you can stand. Your situation is not novel. Many have gone through such and come out stronger and better persons. The last one. Can I read? Let me read this. So don't be there. Letting the temptation of trial eat you up. Have dominion over you. There are way out. There are a lot of ways out. And count on the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, SICF.
Thank you, brothers. Please stand up. Let's finish with a benediction. Now may our God and Father himself make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. God bless you, XICF. See you next Sunday. Thank you.